Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi.
Okay, so actually, plot twist is the same night. We're going to record.
For you, it's been a week. For us, it's been less than a minute.
We'll say the rumors. What's the champ?
Do you remember which glass is yours? Because I'd love you to pour me a sparkling water.
That's mine, and great. This is yours. Do you reckon the temperature of this room is?
Warm, toasty. Did I tell you how I went to a sauna infusion class at the Mauruia Hot Springs, and the woman there told us that saunas heat up the air in your nose and stop COVID getting through?
So, you believed it?
Yeah. But I do recommend that hot springs. I actually had a lovely time, except
where was
for that,
that
one moment. It's on Lewis Pass. It's so beautiful. Totally off the grid.
Well, I actually went there once.
It used to be a Japanese onsen.
Yes.
Now it's been taken over by an American wellness couple.
I mean, there was a kid. It was about 14, and I remember...
You had to get naked in the traditional Japanese
rooms. Yes, yeah. And I remember thinking... I did it in my togs. And I remember being like, this would be a great place to take a lover. But I was like 14 and so alone.
Play the theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom, it's not a phase, it's the male gaze. They're both male, and they're both gay, the male gaze.
And welcome, welcome to. Oh, you closed the door right at the perfect time. Ooh, look at all the bugs that are. Sorry, this is so scattered. Let me just get one sentence out. I said, like, welcome. There's bugs coming in and something else at the same time. Welcome along to this week's episode of the Male Gaze, part two of the 100
moments that made us gay.
To celebrate our 100th episode of the Male Gaze. Asterix or star, whatever, not actually 100 episodes.
And you know what? We actually got to 25, so we've only got 24 each left. So this is 48.
Oh.
We've only got 48 left.
And in many ways, you know, how bad we've been at maths, it's a metaphor.
First from me.
We're just kidding. We got to.
If you need a little bit more time to relax, go to the corner and turn it on to 0.5 times speed. And chill out that way, because we've got to get straight into this list.
We're just talking slowly. Your laugh's like, you hear every crack.
Okay, number 24 for me. The Pokemon Jigglypuff.
Oh my
God. A performer who's addicted to performing, makes people fall asleep, and then is so offended.
The Emperor narrative. For me, absolutely, Mr. Mime would be the queer character of
Mr.
Mime was so gay. Very similar performer.
Yes.
Taggy.
I love that Mr. Mime as well. It's like a mime called Mr. is also... the cleaner of Ash's mum's house. She's got like a Mr. Mime who's kind of like a maid who like sweeps up her floor.
Although all those Pokemon are so gay.
It's so queer.
Okie dokie. Sorry. For number 24, really interesting one for me here. It is just the internet.
Yeah, that played a big part.
You know, it was
took a lot of us
invented
gay.
By...
Alan Turing.
Alan Turing.
As celebrated by Dear Coffee on Drag Race UK. The most iconic runway.
I really wanted to be good because I love her name. But the more and more I'm watching the show, the more lackluster.
I like her. She's charming to me.
She's charming. Yeah, but some of, I mean,
her wigs are so fucking terrible.
And her dresses, like that. One of her dresses, like, I was like, that, there's like a, I used to have like in a dress up box.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Anyway, this is not Drag Race conversation. In fact, Drag Race does not actually feature on my list. So it has never made me gay. The internet, just like, it's the source of everything. I think it's making everyone gayer, queer, faster.
Yeah.
Can't imagine having it when I was younger.
Oh my God.
But I definitely was climbing for it when I was sort of 14, 15. Just being like, I need it as fast as I can to be able to work some stuff out alone privately. And I was, the idea the idea of having my own computer.
Oh, I would.
When I got it, I was just like, how freely. Even then, still, I was like deleting history.
Oh, same. I was like, in case anyone borrows it and wants to see anything. But remember looking at porn on your family's computer.
And
just looking over your shoulder. Kind of not wanting to get a bonus.
Slowly
it
uploaded
and
that would slowly disappear.
And you're half an hour of computer time?
which would, I mean, the fact that it was like so impossible to watch it on the computer would argue that it's nature, because it just goes against all odds, you know.
Yeah.
Nature that we're horny.
Speaking of the internet, congratulations, JoJo Siwa. Queen of the Week.
Actually the Queen of the Week. Like, we didn't do a Queen of the Week for the last episode, but she's the Queen of the Week for both episodes.
Yeah.
It, honestly, life has changed for me. Like, I think about it every day.
I'm so happy. It's awesome.
It's amazing. I'm so happy for her.
Okay, number 23 for me.
Can we do a full episode on JoJo Siwa? I could talk about an hour about it.
My dad and then JoJo Siwa.
No, your dad's like a six-part miniseries.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Then I'm going to get like...
we should get some RNZ money or something for that.
You can.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Number 23. Version of Alice in Wonderland at the town hall with a man playing Alice. I don't know if you saw this, but we went as a school trip, and I remember...
Fuck me, yeah, that shit can fucking make you gay so fast.
Yeah, it was a man playing Alice, and I remember being pissed off because I didn't think he was doing a good enough job of, like, portraying a woman. It wasn't my type of drag, I think.
Yeah.
And that it was, like, basically a straight man with a beard pretending to be a woman, and I was like, this isn't it. But... I think a boy could play Alice. You know, like, it got those wheels a turning. And also the town hall in Christchurch is a queer space to me.
Really?
Yeah. I suppose I saw She Hard there once. That was pretty unqueer. But I think that huge thing in the roof.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of big singing competitions and concerts, you know.
And that's queer.
And that was queer, to be in a choir, you know. 23 is Sex in the City for me.
Yeah. Of course, you're excited about the reboot?
Yeah. I mean, cool. The thing is, my relationship with Sex and the City is like, because I'm not like a big watcher of it, though I have gone back recently and watched some episodes, and God, I'll tell you what, it is dated.
Yeah.
But we used to watch TV as a family, and then it would be on at like 8:30 or maybe 9 o'clock or 9:30 or whatever, but it would be like right on my bedtime. But if I held still enough and didn't breathe or make a noise, Mum would forget that I was watching TV, and I would be able to catch
it out.
The first 5 minutes. And it is the thing with what we've learned on this podcast is the things you cannot have that make you, in fact, gay.
Mm.
And it was not being able to see what those women were talking about, you know.
You know, an amazing guest star of Sex and the City, who I can't believe is not on my list, is Jennifer Coolidge, who I've been obsessed with since a kid. And then she's in Promising Young Woman.
She gives an amazing performance.
Oh my gosh. And I love...
I feel like everyone wants to laugh, and I'm like, she's not giving you that.
She does have one very funny line about whether kids have different body parts.
Yes.
But that made me laugh a lot.
That made me laugh a lot.
But also, I mean, to see a comedic actress take a dramatic turn, that to me is a true, like... queer pleasure for me. Like, that
yeah,
is like,
and we got it with Kristen Wiig in a way, but I think Jennifer gave it in a way that I was like,
I was really
that was a move for the gays.
Yeah, loved it. Number 22 for me, Push Pops.
Yep. Absolutely made me gay too.
Absolutely.
And when you finish them at the end, you'd be like, and then it would get just so spitty at the bottom.
Yeah. And when you were talking about sucking dick last episode, I was like, well, of course it's fun. It's like a push pop.
True.
Especially you got a little finger up
there. And they were just, you put your finger up there too.
Yeah.
Very erotic lollies.
Very horny.
And ultimately, I would pick one of those over a ring any day.
Agree. That makes my finger too sticky.
But I did love a melody pop.
And I liked a candy necklace.
Do you remember the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo?
Yes.
They were great. They were amazing. Delicious Coca-Cola flavor. 22, Jesse Bradford in Bring It On. He was
the toothbrushing scene.
God.
And he's also in Blue, the one where he's the girl stalking him. Anyway.
But also, I know you had to Google her name, Eliza Dushku.
Dushku.
Kind of made me straight. So it's hard to say.
Oh my God, her audition scene. Fucking,
and they're licking the finger, rubbing the tattoo of the pen.
Awesome.
She's so. And it was very confusing for me, actually, that film, because I was swinging one way then the other.
Everyone's hot. And I think Kirsten Dunst is hot. God, there was a real grit in my voice there.
It was real.
Okay, 21 for me. When I found my grandma's vintage Barbies. So after my grandma passed away.
When was this?
I was probably about 8.
Okay.
And
quite into Fiona Apple just yet. Hadn't discovered the full power of Julianne Moore.
Anyway, my grandma passed away, and then like in a drawer in her house where my auntie lived, and maybe they would technically belong to my auntie by then, but there were these vintage Barbies, the ones from like 50s.
They would be
in
worth...
their boxes. So beautiful, these gorgeous velvet outfits. I got no idea, but I know I wanted them so bad, and I did that thing where I was like, could I take one home just for a little while? And I wasn't allowed to. Fuck. They'd be worth us.
That'd be a mint. Yeah. Fuck. That's amazing. Why did your grand have...
Just bought them and held on to them. And that's the thing, they were still in their package, like a true collector.
Wow!
Isn't that wild?
I'm really getting into Barbies. I love Barbies.
You got the Dorothy one,
I got a Dorothy one for my birthday, and it's so good. I look at it all the time. It's still in this box. Okie dokie dokie dokie. 21 for me. Oh, this featured in the last episode, and I didn't bring it up until now, but it does involve twins. And it is the twins on Big Brother, Australia.
Oh, wow.
And
is this the same time as Sarah Marie?
Yeah, maybe in the following season or whatever. Okay. They did a thing where like there was like two houses and then they swapped them over like constantly.
Oh, wow.
And then they were gorgeous. And it was the same era as Big Brother Uncut. And I was just like, I will do anything to see them piss. You know, like, because that was the only way you could see them naked on that show. Or like shower.
Yeah, showering.
You know? Big Brother, I'm going to just see if I can find them for you.
I'd love to see them.
Big Brother Australia twins. We should just bring back a Big Brother.
It is going in a
the
lot
Logan
of
Logan twins, in the fact, Logan was their twins. Name.
Okay. What happened to the Logan twins?
Well, we were going to find out in this new idea article.
Chris has got an iPhone 12 without a case, and it makes me so nervous.
For God's sake. I mean, you'd think the internet these days would be
Oh, wow. They look like they're about to fuck. That looks like the opening scene of a gay porn.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And this is them, like, now. I wonder what they look like back then. Or maybe this is back then. But yeah.
The clothes look like they're from back then.
And there was a scene. This is, like, so graphic. But it was, like, it was on Big Brother and can't remember watching it. Where one of them jerked off in a toilet. And they kind of played it on the TV. Like, but it was, like, facing the wall. And I don't know how they got away with filming it.
Jesus.
I don't think if I was on reality TV show like that, I would jerk off. But, I mean, your choice.
Yeah, totally up to you. I think I'd have to. I think if it was, like, I think once it got to, like, 5 days, I'd be itching to jerk off. I'd be going crazy. Okay, here's my next one, number 20. This is another time you go to bed one, because on Monday nights when
time
I was a
you
kid,
go to bed.
You know how you're talking about Sex in the City, like the time you go to bed. I mean,
this is another time you go to bed one. Oh yes, oh those are my favorite genre of these ones.
Another period of forced bedtime. So on Monday nights we were allowed to stay up until my bedtime was 8, but I could stay up till 8:30 on Mondays because that was when Lois and Clark played.
Oh,
and this is Dean Cain and equally Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
Both hot, both inspirational for me. Also, Dean Cain, now a Trump supporter. Terry Hatcher notoriously was awful to everyone on Desperate Housewives. So, you know, maybe they're bad people. But...
Was she? Oh my God.
Yeah, I think so.
Her and Lea Michele have a similar energy actually when you say that. Okay.
Very true.
I'm going to say with 20 was having to get changed in PE. Yeah,
I was going to write this down too, but I was going to write the pool.
And it is the things that you cannot have.
Yeah.
That make you gay. And it was, you know, just, yeah, having to get, I remember just like the feeling of being in the locker room with like all the boys before like having to do a soccer class I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And the energy was just like really intense, and it was like adult unsupervised and just being like, I can't handle this, and just I want it to go fast because I could be in here forever.
You know what's so funny is when you're a teenager and you have PE and then you don't shower and you just put your school uniform back on and go on with your life. But our changing room did have a shower, and any time a boy chose to shower, I was like, fuck. I was like,
What a man. Brinley and I will go for these walks in the morning, and often there's the primary school down the road, and they'll be running at like 8:30, like PE.
I know the school you mean, and I've been past when they've been running as well.
That's fucking mental to like run and then just be like, you're in the same
class. School uniform. You arrive in it, you run in it, and then you sit in it. Okay, what are we up to? Oh, number 19. I throw a full tantrum and cry because my family wants me to go to the movies to watch 10 Things I Hate About You, and I don't want to go. And then ultimately, I go and I love the movie, and it becomes one of my favorite films.
They're like, trust us, you're going to love it.
And I was like, no! And I know, I think it was the last tantrum I ever threw. Like, I think I was like 11. I was definitely too old.
Ooh,
and I threw
yeah.
a big tantrum, and then, fuck.
I'm still throwing tantrums.
I love the movie.
I'm such a strop. Anyway, this is the worst part about me. 19 for me, cereal stuff, specifically Chevron Anthony Samuels.
Oh, this is on my list too.
Sports Susie, I think.
Sports Susie, yeah.
I think Siobhan Ruakiri is like, was in a way a gay icon because she was just such a dynamic personality on that show and really truly felt like she would accept anyone.
When I met her in one of the first plays I did at our drama school, which had a rotating cast, and she was on one of the nights that I was on, I just couldn't.
Yes.
It was so hard to not be like, you made me want to be a funny performer.
Or just going over to her and be like, I'm gay because of you.
Yeah, I'm gay. Siobhan Ruakiri, you made me gay.
And then they were all basically serial stuff for the international list. It was like, What Now was a Sunday morning show for kids. It was like games and like presenters. But inside of that, they had like a sort of soap opera show that would play. They all played like Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
And they did some stuff with the actual Barbies. And then they did some stuff like as
indoor scenes with the humans.
And one of the characters was Sports Susie, and her catchphrase was, "Hi, everyone, it's me," and loved that.
Loved that.
And, or my, was actually the accent.
It's my, I.
But there was also, there was like a Ken doll.
A Ken doll.
And his name was, because there was.
Wasn't it Action Steve or something?
It was Action Steve, and then there was like, anyway, whatever his name was, it implied that he was sort of a bit, a friend of Dorothy.
Friend of Dorothy.
You know?
I saw Anthony Samuels once at Garden City Bowl, and he signed something for me. And also, one time at school, I wrote a play. Like, we performed a play about the book A Wrinkle in Time. Like, we performed the story, and I played the main girl, and I did it as
you did it before
Susie.
What? You did it before Mindy Kaling, did it?
Before Mindy Kaling.
And Oprah.
I did, yeah. My next one is the opening number from Death Becomes Her, as performed by Meryl Streep. I see me.
Da-da-da. I haven't seen Death Becomes Her.
Oh, my God.
I know, I've got to watch
it.
Oh,
I love that movie. It's on Disney Plus, maybe?
I'm going to get a Disney Plus account.
Yeah, you should. And that's the ultimate, this moral of this episode. This
is anything you take away from this podcast is get a Disney Plus account.
I'm not going to say anything more about that, but also, didn't you think Meryl Streep sounded very good in Prom?
Yes.
The best she's ever sounded as a singer, but a god-awful movie.
A god, just the worst premise for a film.
So fucking dumb.
So stupid. About a bunch of Broadway actors who need to, like, get themselves some. I remember watching my parents being like, are you buying any of this? And I was just like, no.
It was so weird.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
But nice to always see Andrew Reynolds in a commercial kind of like broader context, because I feel like for the gays, he's a huge celebrity.
Yeah.
And then he's always like niche.
Yeah.
But then when you see him kind of like main stage up front and center, we're like, oh, yeah.
And
you're
going to
love him and killing it. Okay, number 18 for me. Very classic, kind of obvious, had to put on the list. And I would say that is the Patti LuPone performance of Anything Goes that she did at the Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fell upon that clip, not knowing who Patti LuPone was, and thought, this is good. Like, what is this that, like, I stumbled upon it after coming out, and I think ultimately it made it me gayer.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
And that would put for me.
In olden days,
that number.
That's a fun song.
It's just a little bit of tap. And for me, that would put money in the nature camp.
Yeah.
Because
it was like you were intrinsically connected to that.
I was
video.
Intrinsically connected, and then later on, it was like, oh, yeah, all the gays love Patti LuPone. And I was like, what? You like.
How do you know this?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So weird.
Okay, number 17 for me. Bette Midler rides a vacuum in Hocus Pocus.
Yes! So made us all gay.
And when I told people about the movie that I loved so much, I would be like, there's a witch, and she can't access her broomstick, so she rides on a vacuum.
I believe actually it's not Bette Midler who rides the vacuum.
They all do, I think.
Is it? Or is it the...
Nia,
yeah.
Is it, yeah, that...
She rides it at the end as like the rule of three.
I think they all do.
Maybe they all do. No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a great moment.
It's a great moment. And I got to tell you, we'll get to it in a second, but go off with yours.
I feel, what?
The next thing on my list is also about Hocus Pocus.
This is why I refine my list, because mine was like going through... There were, like, you'd go through these like wormholes with similar logic. Okay, number 17. Going to drama school next to the New Zealand School of Dance.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And it would say it was right at the crux of coming out. Yeah. And if I have any regrets in my life, it was like not being gay and able to have like dates with dancers.
Yeah.
But there was just like, I was in the precipice of coming out and was really holding back for numerous private reasons. And I was constantly surrounded by the most gorgeous men who could move their bodies like I've never seen before. Like, basically constantly shirtless and wearing tights.
Yeah.
And sweating
stretching
in them.
Everywhere.
And stretching. And it was just like, it was like palpable. Like, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I would just be like in voice class, just like staring out the window at them.
Did you find that like, I found when I watched dances and I was at drama school, I was like, I don't have any talent. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, this is what it looks like.
Oh, you can do what I do. And also, you can lift your leg up to your head.
Yeah, because often they do jokes and
they'll do a bit of acting, yeah. And drama school is where you learn to do jokes.
Yeah. First year's jokes. Okay, my number 16 is in Hocus Pocus.
They write a broomstick.
When Sarah Jessica sings the song to all the kids.
Mm.
Come little children, I'll take you away.
It's
beautiful.
Sarah
Jessica
Parker, another one that just like is, you just connect to.
Could not be more queer. It's
as a gay
so
man. And she was also another woman who I had cut out and stuck on the inside of my desk lid.
So good. Also, I think her role in Hocus Pocus is very similar to Amanda Seyfried in Mean Girls.
Yes.
Like, very fun when you see a smart performer playing a silly, silly dumb crow. Yeah.
And I put a spell on you, Bette Midler's song.
Oh my God.
And the introduction of Bette Midler in my life, which was that film.
She's so good.
Her power is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing that you just didn't write Hocus Pocus.
I don't know what was going on for me.
But you were really specific there. Number 16, Cher's It's In His Kiss song.
Oh, yeah, cool. Because the call and response.
No. Because the call and response. Sorry to mock you. No, I did a jazz dance to it when I was about 6 years old, and I was in a lycra leotard and bike shorts.
Yeah, I think that
just
is
just dancing to Cher.
That's a tick in the nurture category.
That would turn literally anyone gay.
We can skip my next one because guess what? Because number 15, Sports Susie on Cereal Stuff.
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh my goodness me! Number 15, diving at the Olympics.
I remember synchronized diving, especially to me.
Is
it's
this like
it's a twin thing.
Something about twins. I love that. It's so. You had two moments in Hocus Pocus, specific moments, like scenes, and then you had
something about twins.
makes you gay. It's just unbelievable. There's something about. I don't know whether you're scared of twins or...
I don't know either.
But it's a twin thing. The satisfaction I had when Tom Daley came out was kind of crazy because he was like... I remember my sister was watching the Olympics because my younger sister is like a... she's of the era... I call her Gen Z? Gen Z millennial cusp. But she was a like One Direction psycho fan, like psycho, go to the concert crying, all that kind of thing. And she did the Twilight thing, but part of that was also like a Tom Daley thing when he was diving in the Olympics.
Really?
And everyone was just like, can you believe this gorgeous boy?
Yeah.
Really backing him. And then when he came out, I was just like, Snatch.
One for me, sorry.
Yoink.
And also I'll take half of Harry Styles.
Exactly. You go.
Number 14, every character in Ariel Monsters.
I knew Ariel was going to add on your list.
Everything is queer about it.
Yeah.
Oblina. Oh, love it.
She's Icus. Camp.
I'm Icus. I identify as an Icus.
Nervous.
Crumb is like a fun little cub bear. And then obviously the teacher with all the high heels.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Number 14 for me is Laura Linney's Almost 16 in Love Actually.
With the most beautiful
man.
Beautiful man.
And someone who had surprise abs.
Yeah.
And our friend Leon, I remember when he was like, I really want to get stuck going to the gym and like working my body. And I was like, what's your like goal body? And he's like, I want the body that the guy has in Love Actually, where you just like, he looks like a nerd and then you open your shirt and you're like, wow.
You know, I think Leon's achieved that.
I think he has.
Except for the fact that that guy is, I mean, part of the reason he looks so good is because he is not white.
Yeah.
He's so beautiful.
He's a beautiful man. He's in 300.
Is he?
As the kind of like Persian king.
Oh, that's him?
That's him.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
What a transformational performance.
Little fact for you.
Number 13, the Thomas the Tank Engine train called Oliver, who gets rescued from a scrap heap and then he gets painted brand new and comes out sparkling.
So you like that and then something about twins. It's like, it's so funny to me. But beautiful. That, I mean, that is the... There's a coming out story.
Yeah. Oliver's number 11. I feel like an affinity with the number 11 as well because twins.
But also, someone shaved them into their eyebrows, or was it Dan Carter's number on his
oh
shirt?
Oh my god, that was... Oh.
Hey Siri! Sorry guys. Oh, Siri doesn't work on my phone anymore.
That was the other gay. The volleyball team of my school did that. They shaved the dashes into their... Every time they...
Dan Carter's number. Do you reckon... he...
Oh, it's oh, he 027...
Don't give out that information. He was number 10. Okay, so I was about to say something about the number 11.
Yeah.
Why did we get onto 11?
Because that's the number on the side. All the Thomas trains have a number on the side. And
oh, and the gay one is... Yeah. I feel bad for the fat controller.
That's why they call him Sir Topham Hatt now.
Do they?
They do.
Sir Topham.
Also, they've really diversified the lineup because there was truly one female train for so long.
God, that's bad.
Yeah.
I also love the helicopter on that show.
Harold.
Yeah.
He's gay.
He's gay, eh? Yeah. I identify the most with Harold.
The gayest one to me is called Toby. I don't know if you remember that.
Such a gay name.
Yeah. Toby's bulky. Kind of quite bulky, but I don't know. He's fun.
Your nephew's into Thomas, eh?
Yeah, but not anymore. He's gotten too old. And maybe my younger nephew kind of
How
is getting into
nephew?
It. My oldest one is 7, if you can believe that.
That's like a child, yeah.
Yeah, that is actually like a child, even. 7 is the age where you become a child.
Basically, you would be getting into Fiona Apple at that age.
That's what I'll get for his next birthday. A nice Fiona Apple album.
And the movie. Starring.
Julianne Moore, Far From Heaven. Sit down and watch Far From Heaven with your uncle.
What do you think? Number 13. Oh, have you done yours? Did I do mine? I did.
Your turn.
Number 13, Jessie Metcalf, Desperate Housewives.
I feel like we've poured a lot of attention into this in this podcast over the years.
It's like pecs galore.
What? He's meant to be 16.
Really?
He's meant to be 16.
That's so crazy.
His body is phenom.
On point.
Yes. And I think that was around the time that I was like, I should get this NAD stuff so I can have a gorgeous hairy chest like him.
If I had met someone who'd completely waxed everything off them, I think I'd be a bit shocked.
Yeah.
I'm quite hairless.
Yeah.
By nature. So I took in the nature can.
Number 12 for me, the Macy Gray song Sweet Sweet Baby, which was the lead single from the second album After I Try. And I think what it built into me was that people used to call her a one-hit wonder because of I Try. And I was like, well, actually, Sweet Sweet Baby made it to number one in the UK, and it's actually just as good a song, and it's really beautiful. And I also would sing along to it, even though it had the line... it's like, sweet, sweet baby, I'm your lady, and I
sing
love
it like Macy Gray, please.
I'm your lady. And, but I'd sing the lady line. I was like, that's, I think, I truly was like, who cares about gender? Amazing. I can say I'm a lady when I sing along to Sweet, Sweet Baby.
I love that. Number 12, McDonald's Young Entertainers.
Yeah.
I wanted to be them. I want to be in that crowd. Pack.
I want to be in that crowd.
I love that they danced in Nike black shoes. It was like, I think still, if someone gave me the opportunity to be a McDonald's Young Entertainer, I would turn down work for it.
Yeah, so I would race there.
Like, I would kill to be one.
And you know what? You are years beyond the cutting point for that.
I don't know, I'd let a 30-year-old in the back.
How old do you think Ainsley Allen was?
And my, when I was a kid, she seemed 30.
Yeah, I think she was 18, maybe. Because did you know she was very Alanis Morissette vibes? And did you know when Alanis Morissette's first album came out, she was 19.
Wow.
With that much.
Isn't that ironic?
Guttural angst. Isn't that ironic?
Ainsley Allen, now in hindsight.
She did Penthouse. I remember that.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder if that was hard for her. Not Penthouse, but being an adult.
Yeah.
Like, she's constantly hanging out with kids.
And she was an awesome singer. She was an awesome performer.
She was an awesome performer.
Number 11, Fergie joining the Black Eyed Peas. Because before then, they used to have a rolling, like a few different female guest vocalists would come in. Macy Gray was in there with Hey DJ before the Elephant came when Fergie arrived. And I was like, okay, now you boys have figured it out. And I think I loved the album Elephant. And I think if I was to rank the tracks in terms of the ones I liked the best, it would become very clear that the ones with Fergie are up the top and the ones that she's not in are at the bottom.
Have you seen the video compilations of her like worst, weirdest riffs? They're so crazy.
Or the one where she can't do the Fergalicious rap. Like, she just can't.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay. Number 11. Oh, it's interesting. There's a similar vibe here. Venga Boys.
Mm. Wow. Lots of queer rumors around them as well, right? Because it was like, are they gay?
And they were they just European?
Yeah, they were.
But they just had a massive impact on my life. And we got their album that had all the animals fucking in the front cover.
I glued it together.
Oh, that's right. And it got taken away from me by my parents. Which is so crazy. Like, this is putting thoughts into your head. I was like, it's animals mating.
Fucking, it's lions fucking each other. We used to sing Sha-la-la-la-la. And Syndicate singing at intermediate.
Syndicate. I remember as well, there was another very similar song that was Sex on the Beach. And Mum banned us from singing that song in the house as well. And so we had to go, I want to have on the beach.
Yeah, it's weird. We weren't really allowed to listen to Sex on the Beach, but we were allowed to sing, if you know your body and you think I'm sexy.
Come on, baby, turn me on. Have you had Sex on the Beach?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Not full penny, but. Definitely.
Oh, no, we've discussed this.
Yeah.
I haven't had sex on the beach.
You should get into it.
I want to have sex on the beach. Come on, everybody. I want to come on, everybody. Sex on the beach. Come on, everybody.
Okay, number 10 for me. We're really getting to the end now. A guy from America who joined my primary school class for 1 year called Matt.
Crush. Your first true love?
First true crush. He had a buzz cut. He had a tan. I think his name might have been Matt Brown. And I think I looking back, I'm like, I think I had a queer energy. But also when I think about it.
He's your Oliver Barton.
Yeah, he's my Oliver Barton.
Do you know his last name?
I think it was Matt Brown.
If you are Matt Brown, if you are American. If you hear
million people called Matt Brown.
Who's American. Wait, that cuts it down. And had come to New Zealand in the 90s.
Mm. It's so funny though, because when I think back, what I see is a full model in our primary school uniform. You know, like, I don't know what he looked like.
But it's like when I watched Love Actually the first time and that girl sang at the end. Mm. And I was like, she's the most beautiful person I've ever seen.
Yeah. She's a child.
She's a child now. It's weird to think about that as an adult person. Okay. Number 9. Nope. Number 10 for me.
Yeah.
Dan Carter, jockey, billboard.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot.
Nothing more can be said.
So
hot. It's still hot.
I couldn't believe it. It was my introduction to bulge culture.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was okay. Awesome. Then number nine, I've got underwear waistbands. So
very on theme for us.
Yeah.
Number nine for me is getting my. I wonder if people are like enjoying the numbers being said throughout this whole thing. Anyway, I just had a fear that this was really boring, but I've really enjoyed it. Yeah. Number nine, please let us know right now if you're enjoying this. No, getting my haircut as a kid.
Oh, really? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we went to this place called The Salon. There was a woman called Julia who looked like Angelica Houston from The Witches. And there was a man called Gary who was the only gay man in Christchurch as far as I'm concerned.
Amazing.
Apart from your dad. But that's for another podcast. Hosted by... a female voice.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be doing it, but I think it should be a female
voice.
You
can write a script if you want. No, I'd love her to put it in her words.
Here's an interesting tale of a boy and his father. In music. And like vox pops and all that kind of, like really like making a murder attack.
Yeah, and there is a murder.
And there's a murder in it.
Later on. Number eight, the Kylie Minogue slow video.
Yeah.
So hot, and I watched it. It's very hard to find a high definition version because I remember when it used to play on TV, people were like, some of the people are naked, and I was like, ooh, I'd love to spot them.
Pausing Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Number eight, Ken, the Barbie.
Mm.
Bulge, probably my introduction to bulge culture, and it wasn't like I sort of put it aside until. You know, but he seemed like a gorgeous man.
Yeah. His bulge was like, that's how I want mine to look.
Hairless. Hairless. And he has shaved himself and therefore has abs.
Yeah.
Because we all know that the secret to abs is to wax your pubes off.
Or use a liquid hair removal cream, ideally.
Do you use liquid hair removal creams?
Well, that's the one that I was
oh, right. For. Apparently Ned's, the green one, you could eat it.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Number seven for me, another Kylie Minogue one. Kylie Minogue, can't get you out of my head video.
She's in the white
scarfy thing. Yeah. So, I mean, both of these music videos were just like, oh, okay, you're allowed to like sex.
Said in the most unsexual way I've ever seen. number seven, Sims Hot Date.
Wow. The
it was not just the birth of my... sexuality, but just sexuality as a whole.
Mm.
I was just like, this is fucking hot.
Yeah.
This bed rubbing around these, going woohoo.
I get to watch these people woohoo after I tell them to.
And that was just like being full depravity of like not having any porn. I was like, at least I can get away with playing Sims Hot Date.
Yeah. Number six for me, Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again video.
Modern music videos popping up here. Which, yeah. That is red.
The red.
Any celebrities in that one?
No, but it does have the Titanic reference at the end.
Yes.
The ocean at the end.
And Austin Powers cuts into it.
Yes. Also that she does that move. You know the one I'm doing? She makes a little box with her hands.
God, yes.
I love that.
Number six for me. Track pants with zips on them. Essex and CCCs. Wow.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I love to zip them up to my knees and get my legs out and walk like Naomi Campbell.
It was a cool look for girls at school that then...
And then it's often would tuck the zip into the waistband. And it was a cool look for girls and I was trying to pull it off.
I had what now? Tearaway pants.
Yes. Similar era to Shakespeare, the red monkey on what now?
Exactly. I got number five. I just had The Sims in general. I actually didn't have Hot Date.
Mm.
But just the original Sims. Just the fact that you can make two boy Sims kiss would put me in a little trance.
Kind of go a bit cross-eyed and quiet for a bit. Numbers five for me is classically the... I mean, I'm on my top. Like, mine weren't random.
Big, yeah.
The underwear section at Farmers.
Yeah, fuck.
Just like the imagery, being in that space.
I would justify it to myself and be like, I just want to see if they're on special.
Yeah, but I think I need more underwear, and it would just sort of spend a long time, just like the world would go like spinning, and it was just like.
And they know because they always put a decent page in there.
I wonder if you work at Farmers, if you just like notice like 14-year-old boys like constantly walking in, being
like the Good Witch and the Witches, being like, "Here's a little treat for you,"
and you're shopping there as if you're like. 45, yeah. And you're just like really like a conscious consumer, like really just being like, I'm sort of umming and ahhing over some underwear.
Also being in the shop, looking at the underwear being like, ooh, there's a red dot on this.
And also as a whole, like, as well, just that whole underwear culture of like people asking you if you're boxers or briefs.
What a bizarre question to ask, isn't it?
Are you boxers or briefs?
I feel like I have mostly briefs now.
I'm always briefs.
I've got a few longs though, and I do feel cool sometimes when I wear them. But I mostly like briefs.
I feel like if I'm wearing longs, which would be what? Boxers?
Yeah.
Trunks. I'm doing sport or something.
Yeah. But the question used to be like boxers or briefs, meaning like satin boxers. Or tidy whities, pretty much.
Yeah.
God, that was a little burp. I've had sparkling water. Okay. Into these top ones now. Number four for me, the Ronald Dahl story. Oh, Roald Dahl.
Ronald McDonald, sorry.
Roald Dahl story about a boy with magical undies. He puts his undies in the microwave before he does a race at school and they make him run faster.
Undie culture.
He goes for a swim to cool off and they shrink and he has to take his undies off and then he's naked for the rest of the race. And to me, it was hot.
Yeah, fuck yeah. It needs to be remade. Yeah. But like a...
With Chris Hemsworth shrinking undies.
I love being, you read that as a kid and then like your parents being like, 99, and you're just being like, night. Like, why the fuck did you read me that? Ah, so good. Life is so confusing, eh? Number four for me is Catherine Zeta-Jones' performance in Chicago. One of the all-time greats. It's such an amazing performance. Renee's amazing, but Catherine Zeta-Jones, like, powerful. I just couldn't believe the power of it. Up there with Siobhan Kitty and serial stuff.
It's so hot, and she looks so
She's amazing. Her voice is just like, it's the best singing voice I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's powerful, it's clear, it's amazing.
I prefer Renee Zellweger because it's a little bit sad. I guess they're all a bit sad in Chicago.
And that's the Bert Nooney in us as well, I guess.
Yeah, it is. From number three one, I'm going to... A performance at a film that I've never seen, but I have seen a lot of screenshots of and scenes of. Jake Gyllenhaal in Jarhead. I've never seen the film, but I know... Yes. That it's just like set during the wartime, and there's lots of bits where he has a Santa hat on, no shirt, and
we should watch
pants.
It.
Yeah.
We should absolutely watch it. He is unbelievable. Like, he's so talented at musicals.
So talented.
He's gorgeous. And...
And a bit weird.
And he's so hot in... as the music man in Sack Lunch Bunch.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, he's so funny. But just like the fact that he's so funny makes me more attracted to him. And the fact that he does like musical theatre, just like... It's sort of unfair. He's in Brokeback Mountain with Heath Ledger. What the hell? I don't think I've actually watched it.
He's fucking Tom Holland. Verified. No,
you've heard it here first.
Yes.
Number three. Okay, we're in our top three of the 100 things that made us gay. This would be top six. Yeah. If you're doing the maths.
I just did my third as well, so we've only got five left between the two.
Amazing. Okay. My fourth form English teacher, Liz Gormack, who famously said in an English class that you can go onto Google and then go onto the image section of Google and search any word you want, and then you can find an image of that word.
Yeah, like, okay, penis.
I was like, butts and penis, balls and like shirtless surfers. naked surfers.
Sounds like a pop.
Mario Lopez naked.
Mario Lopez?
He's so hot back in the day.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Number two for me. The band, the A-Teens, do you remember this?
No.
A group of teens who would exclusively cover ABBA. They featured on the television show ABBA-mania, which was a special that then became an album. And then the A-Teens would just do ABBA covers, but they have one song, which is an original called Upside Down. And I wanted to be in the band. Much like you with the Madonna Circus Tavis, I was like, I want to be in the A-Teens.
But they were 18.
Oh, no, the A-Teens, as in like the ABBA teens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting, like yearning to be... A performer that's like all gays love to show off, and it's that kind of desire that they wish they never got. You know, they never got into the thing that they wanted to be in. Number two, Sophie Alex Baxter, Get Over You music video.
Where she's the mannequin?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That was so cool.
So cool.
I watched it so many times. And I tried to like draw the black lines around my neck so I could look like a mannequin.
That's sick.
It was just so good. She's amazing. Her music is so good.
She was meant to come here for the pop concert that I think got cancelled because of COVID. Like they were doing one of those lineup ones with
the
stars in the 90s.
She's a star now. Her music still slaps. I love it.
I mean, she was doing disco before it really... I mean, she was doing Dua Lipa before Dua Lipa. Whoa.
Yes. And actually, shout out to Kylie Minogue's disco album, which is also still so good.
Very good. All right.
It kind of got released in the flurry of lockdown.
Yeah, it did.
But I listen to it every now and then. I'm like, God, this is fantastic stuff.
Okay, my number one. The first thing I thought of. Justin Timberlake, Justified Era. He was also simultaneously in a movie called Alpha Dog, which, again, I have not seen, but I saw all the promotional images because he never put a shirt on in that. And it's about a group of teens getting into trouble, and his character... I've seen the trailer, but I've never seen the film, but his character was doing bicep curls while they're, like, planning a heist or, like, some kind of drug scam. And I just remember being like, fuck.
I want to fuck you. I want to fuck kiss me, hold me in those arms.
When he still had the curl, like, tight little curls, but they weren't bleached anymore.
I never realized you were such a big J... Timberlake.
I found him so hot, and now I don't find him hot at all, but I do still think he's got some good tricks.
He's bringing sexy back. Yeah. What's he doing now?
God only knows what he's doing now.
My number one thing that made me gay, you could probably guess it.
Barbra Streisand? No.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just,
of course.
I just think... Yeah, like I relate to it on a level that is beyond like pop culture. Mm. It's more religion to me.
Wow.
The narrative, Judy Garland, I wanted to be her. It's weird that I watched it as a kid. It's weird that all the other gay kids watched it as a kid. It's propaganda. It's filled with kind of like gay vaudeville performers.
Yeah.
And all the narratives are sad, heartbreaking, and beautiful. You can watch it as a kid. It's thrilling. It's exciting. And ultimately turns you gay. And right. I blame them for it. I blame MGM for it.
They fucked us
and
up.
And in that sense, I'm resting on nurture.
And we're going to take down MGM.
And we're taking down MGM. I mean, it would be a big old tick in the nurture box.
It would be. MGM. Was it MGM who had the record for most films by one studio nominated for Best Picture in 1 year? That's potentially about to be beaten by Netflix.
Wow. So an amazing sort of boring fact to sort of end this victorious achievement on. We've went through 100 things. We're finishing up now, but we've got a couple of seconds just to really kind of...
Sit in what we did.
Are you proud of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it got us to do a podcast.
I definitely think like, we started kind of up in here in the last sort of 25 were all delivered at this pitch.
No, I think 25 to 15 was maybe the most frenetic.
Yes.
And then 15 to 1 was...
Deadpan.
Slobbish. Yeah. Anyway, let us know the 100 things that made you gay.
Don't. Actually, keep that list to yourself. I enjoyed that. I think there's a lot to take away there. Where do you sit? Nature versus nurture?
We sit nurture.
You sit on nurture.
No, I sit a bit nature. I'm nature because my dad's gay, and you're nurture because of Wizard of Oz.
your dad's genetics. He's got the gay gene, and you got it.
We
got
to get out of this hot room.
We love you. So much. Thank you for listening. Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male, and they're both gay. The male gaze.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.